the numbers on those boxes?
These?
Yeah.
Probably. I'm not
how
sure
many
if they,
in that collection.
I'm not sure if those are no, because I
those are the serial number for it, but I'm not exactly sure what they're
like.
What,
there's no way that there were only 83 Pop Cat Funko Pops before Bug Cat.
I think
no
it's,
way.
I think it's the serial number within
oh, it is
the
Bug Cat. I
within
forgot.
The
it's evil version of him.
Yeah, within that series.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think so. I think they're just meaningless numbers.
Because that's printed on. That's not just a sticker. And they're not going to have every box for Bugcat have a different print file. You know what I mean? Because it's not like a separate stamp.
Okay. Guys.
It's Google. All one print. So.
Huh?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
The entire face is one print.
Right. So my point is, if they were going to have Hellboy, say, 750 or 749 or 748, depending on which exact Hellboy you got.
Oh, got it.
No way
so,
that that's the case.
So when I type into Google, what do the Funko, as soon as I get there, it fills out pop numbers mean.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is not... We both, a lower number just means the pop is older.
The pop is older?
Yeah, but... That implies that it's like what number it is as far as how many Funko Pops they've done total.
They number them in order that the sets come out.
There's no way Bugcat is the 84th Funko Pop ever.
Uh-oh.
No.
What?
Are we live?
We're live.
Okay.
The camera's just not on?
Yeah. We'll see if it actually...
There was a lot of stuff that was turned off.
Hi, welcome to Crippled System, and you can listen to us arguing about Funko Pops while we get the camera running.
Ooh,
this is a
click.
Slight this is a slight improvement from normal.
Hey, sure.
Is it showing
up?
Yes.
Oh, look, it's the people.
Yay!
It's the people. Hey, well, it's most of the people.
It's yeah. Some of the people.
Is that,
some of us.
Is that me? Yeah,
no,
that's
it's just me. Well, there's a little
I
bit of
I can see
you.
Me, which means you can't see him. You can't.
Huh?
You're just way not on. The camera ends here halfway through my face.
Okay.
Well, that camera does. The direct feed we're
wait,
good
we're
on.
Looking,
oh, wait. Are those two?
Which
what?
One is?
We've got two cameras? Oh, I see. That's that camera, not that camera.
Yeah.
What? Andy's gone. Is Andy dead? He vanished. He went around that way, and then he stopped existing.
Also, what episode is this? All I know is it's odd.
283? Sure. 283? Is it 283?
If anybody can help us with some object permanence. Oh, here's Andy. He's back. He's alive.
Andy, what camera is that we're looking at?
Huh? It's a Panasonic.
No, there's that camera and then there's that camera.
Which one are we broadcasting?
Huh? We're not broadcasting off that one.
We're not broadcasting off of that one. Then why is it?
No, it's okay. That one up there.
But I can see Dan on that one up there, but not on the TV.
Also, I can see David up there, too.
Yeah.
I meant David.
Yeah, because so that's the thing there. So I'm gonna just jump over to...
Is that, like, zoomed out? Or,
no.
Or were you lying about which camera it was? See, there's no David.
So might have to restart the stream. I mean, we're doing okay.
Thank you for watching Crippled System episode 283.
This is how we catch up to Muse.
Stay tuned for 283.5.
Is there still Muse?
No.
So that's how we catch up to Muse, is by Muse not existing. So now we just have to catch up to those other guys.
I mean, they had a season 2.
Jay and Trevor. Chain Attack, that's their name.
Well, I'm still messing with it to see if I can get it to pop up, but it's...
I'm finding out how many episodes... Oh, that's... What the hell?
No, they were 300 something when they quit.
That's why I'm looking them up.
All right, top of the cam.
Boop.
Nope. All right, I guess we're going to have to restart the stream. Sorry.
No, we already passed them.
What?
No, because we're 283.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
So we have one more year to go.
Okay.
349.
All right, we can do it.
I believe in us.
I don't.
I suspect there'll still be civilization in the Western Hemisphere by the time we get done with that.
It is weird, the cameras. Oh well, life
plus 17
goes on.
Okay, yeah. Apparently, 56. I am not being broadcast.
No, I'm.
He's working
I'm
on it.
Working
okay.
on it, David.
It's just I can see the thing up there on the camera.
Yeah, because that's just the test.
Chat is complaining.
Yeah. They're not complaining. They didn't say it was a bad thing. They said they
this
couldn't
is true.
See you at no
this
point.
This may be a substantial upgrade for the podcast.
Correct. Oh, no, he's on camera again. Oh no.
So now
Wait, was it picturing itself?
Huh?
Was it picturing and picturing the webcam on the webcam?
No, it's just how the video card was putting in the HDMI.
Got it. Video card.
So we should be live right now.
Okay. As far as I can tell, what the number for the Funko Pop is the series number, and the series is the thing in the upper left. So Bug Cat is the 84th Funko Pop in pop animation.
Oh, but not in Bravest Warriors, because obviously right. 84 would be too many for that.
Yeah.
So it's the 84th pop animation, and then Hellboy's the 750th in pop movies.
Yes, that is what Googling tells me.
That sounds believable.
I'm Dan.
I'm Nathan.
And I'm Dave.
Nathan?
Nathan. I didn't think about it.
Nathan.
I'm Baba.
I'm Andy. Yeah.
Baba is me. Baba is me.
Hey, and welcome to episode 283 of the Crippled System Podcast.
Bye.
What, are we to that point already?
Announcements.
I thought we were trying to beat. So Crippled System, we are hosting a tournament this Saturday. Just announced today.
Yeah. Well, did you hear the reason why?
No,
because Rick was banned from Facebook for 2 weeks.
For actually 2 weeks?
I think it was 2 weeks.
I thought it was only a couple days.
I'm pretty sure it was closer to 2 weeks.
Hey, if you want a temporary ban from Facebook, all you have to do is just say men are trash.
But yep. Why would you schedule a tournament? Is Gen Con. Like next week exists?
I mean, not many people are going to Gen Con from our area. At least I think.
Rick, next week exists.
Yeah, but I mean, if he was gone for 2 weeks, he could have messaged one of us to put up a tournament.
Also, it hasn't been 2 weeks. I saw him post within the last 2 weeks. I think it was just a couple days.
Yeah, right. I think it was a couple days too. Yeah. But I mean, come on, a week's notice for a tournament.
Well, you know.
Wait, hold on. That means Travis is not going to be there. It means I might have a chance to win.
Ah.
Whoa.
Of course,
Dan's going to be there though.
No. I might be there.
Nathan's going to be there, and Nathan is literally undefeated in tournament play in Mark III.
Has ace two
tournaments so far.
I think I'm undefeated in tournament
play. I haven't lost a
single tournament game, and I haven't won a single casual game in Mark III. I am 6-0 and 0-6.
My casual games I've lost, but I think tournament games.
I beat you in a tournament game. In Milwaukee by my Kador.
Not in 2019.
Not in 2019.
That's what I was counting.
Oh, 2019. Oh, we're doing Mark III.
No, Mark III, I lost a lot.
Oh, yeah. Mark III, I've beaten you twice in tournaments.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've. I think I'm undefeated in 2019 because I think I haven't played in 2019. But I was 6-0 and 0-6 in Mark III.
I'm undefeated in 40K. I've never lost a game of 40K. Well, against robots or against alien thingies, yeah. Whatever they are.
No, actually, the last game of 40K I played was now like two editions ago that I bought some guy's Tau cheap, and I should have listened to him because he said he was selling his Tau because nobody would play him. And so I took his Tau and buy Eldar and allied them together, which was allowable at the time. And so the Eldar have this spell that lets you reroll armor saves, which is okay on Eldar because they mostly have crap armor. But at the time, you could ally with Tau and cast it on their giant robots that had good armor saves. And basically wins games automatically.
I mean, that basically wins games automatically is 40K in a nutshell.
Yeah. And as far as Games Workshop game design works, it gets better because you have to roll at the beginning of the game to see which spells you get. So it's like if you get that one spell, you win, and if you don't, eh.
Well, that's how it was for old school fantasy, is you would get random spells.
Oh, yeah, that's how.
And then you would have to hope that you, as an undead player, or as a necromancer, that you could actually
do more
refill
than
your
summoning.
Army.
Yeah.
I mean, at least fantasy wasn't as binary as that Eldar Tau combo, where it was you win if you roll the right one, you pretty much lose if you don't.
Yeah.
Because the entire gimmick is based off of one unmodifiable dice roll.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So there's a tournament coming up with Steamroller. It's going to be using the new themes that were released.
Yep. Yes.
The Oblivion theme forces. I'm saddened that I'm done with the game.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm done with it because my Wolves of Winter were better under the old theme rules, so I'm done.
They were?
Just the amount of stuff that I got.
Oh.
And now I get just like I get an extra unit of Grey Lords, but I don't have a second Colden Lord in the list anymore.
My big problem is as a Minions player and not like paying attention to the game for 6 months is that there's a lot of solos that I've never seen before in my life, so I have to figure out what they are and what they do and whether I need to buy them.
Fucking Riot Quest is going to be annoying as hell. I like the idea of Riot Quest supplying War Machine Hordes with a bunch of new solos in that, but at the same time, there's been too many.
Like, honestly, Haymus plays for me. I can bring Haymus on Saturday. What the fuck's going on?
I mean, honestly,
you take Haymus in your Haymus. Take care of Haymus in your conversion.
It's the robot lady from Riot Quest.
Oh, Yimes?
Haymus.
Yimes.
Haymus.
I call it Yimes.
No. The J is an H like in Jesus.
Yai.
Yeah, Haymus.
Like Arnold. Yimes.
I mean, if it's any consolation, most of the Riot Quest minis are not very good in actual War Machine. So you don't have to worry about them.
I'm sorry.
Haymus looks okay.
Pig tanks.
Well, do we have stats for pig tanks
yet? Who cares?
Okay. I mean, yeah.
See, that's that 40K leaking back in. Yeah. Here in the War Machine side of discussion, we care about the gameplay.
I mean, I just want to do McKay and two Railos against Pig McRommel and two pig tanks.
Yeah.
Pig McRommel.
There's a character pig tank and a non-character pig tank.
Yeah.
Well, that's FA2.
So
you can do big tanks versus little tanks.
Yeah.
I saw someone post today in the Convergence of Series group, series Convergence of Series group, that with the new math, you can take two inverters, two ciphers, and a prime axiom in a lock list. And I'm like, that sounds delicious. Like, you don't have enough points left to put in like any support models, like your mechanics or anything.
Sure.
Fuck it. You got two ciphers, two inverters, and a prime axiom.
What do you get for your theme stuff?
I don't know.
No.
I got that far, and then I blacked out. In theory, I could take my Conflux, get laughed at by everybody, and try to prove them wrong, and then that would free up some points to actually bring like mechanics or something.
I was talking to Dan.
Also, I don't unlock.
I think last Tuesday. I'm seriously thinking of actually getting rid of some of my factions and just picking up a limited edition faction. Yeah. It seems like that would be almost the best way to go if you're not planning on playing all the time. That way, you just have your collection. And that's it. Maybe add something random new in the future.
Yeah. Like, I only have a couple things I need to buy to get my convergence back to being full FA on everything, and then I have to start working on my minions. I don't know when I stop playing, so like I don't even know if I avoid leeches. I think I do. I think.
Did you play after the Blind Water COD?
I don't know.
Did you? Well, more importantly, did you stop buying after Blind Water?
I don't know.
I mean, honestly, at this point.
I don't know.
Go check.
I have buckets of models at home.
Go check the Blind Water room and see what you have.
Yeah, don't do what dangerous. I do and end up buying like a new Saxon because you couldn't remember if you bought a new Saxon, then you have five of them.
I made three lists since the Oblivion drop, and none of them are Blind Water because fuck them.
Yeah, because Arcadius is sexy as hell now.
Well, I did a Rask Super Friends sexier. One as well.
Oh, yeah. Rask has always been great and will continue to be great.
Yeah. I had a Rask Super Friends list that it did me well in the past. But no, Arcadius. I made an Arcadius list in Will Work for Food. I made a Rask list in Will Work for Food. And then I made a Helga list in Thornfall.
Mm-hmm.
Because they quadruple buffed Slaughterhousers.
Yeah.
And I already liked Slaughterhousers.
What do they do with Slaughterhousers?
They're like cheaper and better and
I think they got
fuck you up real hard.
A 3-point reduction, a map boost.
It's a 9-point unit now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And a relentless charge.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they got relentless charge. They got way cheaper. They got the +1 mat. They have Rise and Thornfall, but that's not a direct them buff. But yeah.
It's a helpful buff, but yeah. I mean, yeah. Holy cow. Yeah, Slaughterhouses were the shit.
They're only FA2, though, still. Actually, I don't remember their FA off the top of my head.
I think they're FAU.
If they're you? Oh, mm-hmm. Wow.
I just don't think anyone other than Nathan owns more than 2 units.
I only have 2 units as Weyerhaeusers.
Same.
Shame.
I'm mm-hmm. sorry. They might be FA, too. I only owned 2. If they were more than that, I would have owned more than that.
I know I own. Might have been you. I know I own 2 of them as well.
Yeah. But yeah. Good stuff. Sadly, Helga's Feet is friendly faction only, and so my plan to have Rolic Moorclaw with a threshering mangler was not going to be as beautiful on her feet turn as I wanted it to be.
Oh, because the jack itself is only friendly.
The jack is a merc, not a minion. So even though Rulok is allowed to take a mercenary jack in a minion list, it doesn't make the jack be minion, so it doesn't benefit from the feat.
All right, we're back to meat threshers.
There was already a meat thresher in there. It was going to be a meat thresher and that jack and a shitload of other stuff. But
now it's just 2 meat threshers.
Well, Rulok and the mangler turned into 2 units of slaughterhousers. It seemed like a decent
trade. Seems like a substantial upgrade with the slaughterhousers.
Yeah, the grievous
Housers are FA3, apparently.
Okay.
Maybe I do have 3 units of them. Would have been my standard, like, red, green, and
I mean, that sounds like a significant use of those points in Thornfall.
Yeah. But with the new Jack Marshall abilities and stuff.
Oh, like, Jack Marshall is playable now. Yeah. It's great.
What has actually changed on Jack Marshall?
They added an extra thing you can use your Jack Marshall
point for. Oh, the shake.
And super shake. Like, it's better than normal shake in many, many ways. Mm. Because, A, it shakes literally everything instead of having to pick one thing like a focus shake does.
Oh, okay.
And, B, it does it during the Jack's activation instead of during your maintenance phase. Okay. And so that is critically different.
Yeah, well, that and it also makes it so it... during the Jack's activation.
Yeah, when the Jack activates, it uses its focus, you know, its whatever. It uses its thingy to shake everything.
Is that one of the options then? So
yes.
Instead of... Okay.
Correct.
All right. So you can't, like, stand for... What is it? One of the other...
Right. Yeah. But when you have something like a mangler that charges for free, mm-hmm. I mean, so? Good. Yeah, so what? Like, I lose out on +2 mat or +2 pal. Like, I lose out on something, but I shook blind and knocked down and stationary all at the same time, and then I charged and threshered.
No.
And David and I have done shit like that.
Shadow Grasp or whatever it is. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you shook that too.
Yeah, I shook all of those. He got hit by all 4 because they were terrified of him, and he just shook it all and then charged and threshered.
Yeah.
And then all those thresher hits slammed because I pretended like I didn't read Helga's Feet right.
Yeah. Instead of actually killing the mangler, you should, you know, just don't debuff him.
Just so excited. Just redoing the math and remembering that Helga's defense armor 19-19 is so good. I love her so much. 19-19 is a good stat line.
Yes, it is.
I know you were saying no love for Blindwater. Has Malok done anything different? Has he?
Nah.
Nothing.
He is the Undying and continues to be the exact same thing. He is very strong into about 60% of the lists out there and will get utterly hosed by the other ones because he's entirely binary.
Yeah. I play Blindwater casters, just not, you know, in the Blindwater congregation. Theme force.
Okay.
Like, Rask is good. I like Caliban. Caliban's, you know, got good stuff going on.
Caliban has still continued to be hurt by the fact that he cannot take brigands.
Malok is my jam. I like him a lot.
I mean, Jagga would be fantastic if she could take brigands.
She can. Lose out on 18 points of free stuff and all of your benefits.
I mean, that one
brigands
I might...
that good?
That
they
one
might
I,
be under her.
Yeah, with Signs of Importance, they might.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't need to make it easier for them to hit and damage with those fucking brigands. God,
they're so good with mortality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Morvana 1 is now the true pig caster.
I love brigands so much.
Yeah.
And they're so hamstrung in my faction.
I was considering playing a Lilith 1 list with 3 units of them.
Like, if you could even take one cross, like, that's the thing, is like... A Signar list gets to bring one merc unit of its choice, breaking the restrictions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A Crix list could bring a minion unit breaking restrictions. Like, they all have the and a single merc unit of your choice. Why can't mercs and minions do that? Ugh.
The synergies, Nathan.
Fuck your synergies.
So,
I mean, think of the synergies you have now. You don't have to pay for your aggression dial.
Yep.
I've got that all the information here.
Not even the the aggression dial is the distraction from the real sleeper hit of that change, which is Adrenalize or whatever it's called.
Fuck that shit.
The battle boar. Holy balls. Not having to pay. It's Berserk and Overtake. And he used to have to force to have that, and now he doesn't. So you just primal that bad boy, and he just eats a unit.
Yeah, because now he has to miss four times.
Yup.
After casting primal on himself.
He's three fury with two hand weapons, so he'd have to miss four times before that fun stops.
Half inch or an inch?
Half inch, because he's a light.
Sure.
Battle boars are lights.
Okay. No, but I couldn't remember if they were halves or ones.
I don't think he's a one inch. I think he's just a half.
Well,
this is not my thing. This
of course,
is my switch.
If you don't need primal, you can always put elastic on him for extra bonus fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if I cripple grass that unit or something instead.
Yep.
Or distracted or some other such thing. If it's one inch, I'm going to ejaculate right now.
Nope.
Okay, thank you. I mean, it was best for everyone that it turned out to be half inch.
We get demonetized for sure.
Yeah. Zombie dude is right. If snipe and mark target were not friendly faction, brigands would be the best range troll unit. I mean, with what's his balls with that spell, they're already pretty high up there. Yeah,
with Grim 2
or Grim 1.
Mortality. Yeah, Grim just.
I still
22 attacks, bitches. 22 attacks in an activation.
Jarl doesn't really. Jarl's still good, but yeah, he doesn't really improve his shooting guys.
But no, I mean you're missing out on it because now the best mortality caster in the game, Morvana 1, or should I say, let me step that back. When I'm saying the best caster of mortality, not necessarily the most powerful caster who has mortality on their card,
but the one who leverages mortality the best.
Yes, because World Wardens are amazing, and she can take three of them happily and get an extra three boosted mortalities just because.
Right.
And she now works in a theme that can take full minion FA, and so she can get three brigands and mortality the world and everything.
Well, that's not
dies.
New. She always could do that.
Yeah.
Secret Master, she could do that already.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that's a change from the last Circle Dynamic update.
Yeah.
But
fine.
Yeah. Zombie Dude does bring up a good point. Denny 3 can technically cast it longer or more times because Denny can cast it 9 times in a turn automatically. If she feats, the difference is Denny then will drop dead.
Yeah.
Because she is by a large margin the most killable battle engine caster.
I have killed.
You get a mortality. You get a mortality. I die.
I have killed Denny 2 on the bottom of
Denny
one.
Three.
Denny 3. I've killed Denny 3 on the bottom of one by scattering blast templates onto her.
Why is she armor 15?
I don't know. But I mean, honestly, I wasn't even trying. It's just my first scatter happened to roll onto her, and I'm like, okay, I'll go ahead and boost this, and I roll 6, 6, 5, and it's like, okay, now I am obligated to go for the assassination, and I killed.
As with your game against me, were you grumbling about how your scatter shots were all missing the random solo that you wanted them to clip while you were killing their
all
caster?
Of your support.
Yeah.
No, it was your caster. I was trying to.
Yeah, I know it was the reverse, yeah. But yeah.
Sure sounds like an Andy scatter there. Was I in the room that day?
But David was so upset. None of his scatters were going on to my caster. And meanwhile, he murders like three fucking...
Well, let's check. Let's check if this was an Andy scatter. Have you ever blinded four Jacks with one Gorman bomb before?
No.
Okay. He did that to me. I'm not bitter.
Did I? I don't remember that. I do so many amazing scatters. Jim has never forgotten.
It was four fucking Menoth Jacks that were passaged. Including the goddamn Avatar.
I have killed Jim's caster on multiple occasions by scattering a Vanquisher template onto. Is it Vanquisher? Yeah, Vanquisher is the big 4-inch AoE template.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've scattered that onto his casters that are sitting behind a forest, and Ashland on fire doesn't work out. Because I kept on rolling baller for her damage, so, and she's like armor 12 back then when you didn't get to count the focus damage.
On two separate games against two separate players, I have accidentally killed Kane.
Oh, I also had a horrible scatter thing against Nathan once.
When I was excited to try out my new model?
In Cedar Rapids, I believe.
Oh, yeah, the Cedar Rapids. No, I remember that one now.
I mean, you were trying out a new model. It's guaranteed the die a bitch stuff.
Yeah. Well, no, the new model was funny because that was a casual game here, but it was Madeline Corbeau when she had first come out. And I was all excited to try her. And Andy, like, bottom of one, just drifts a Vanquisher thing, like, 3 inches to the two exactly. Like, another inch or backwards would have not clipped her because it was literally the widest spot of the arc that happened to click her with that exact distance. And then spiked the damage on the blast to one-shot her. So I never got to use her. But then that corpse token, I remembered which Risen it was. That Risen charged and hit and one-shotted Iris 2. So Corbeau's corpse got revenge. And August 24th is WITC.
Yep. WITC.
Yep. Still room, but it's filling up, so sign up soon. Remember, it's only $60 for a team. It's only $20 a person. Good location, good event, good times. The winning team, all three members, will get free entry into the ATC. They don't have to necessarily play together at the ATC. They each get their independent pass, so you're not like obligated to play with those guys or gals, who as the case may be. But WITC, August 24th, sign up. We will be using Oblivion rules and themes and whatnots.
Aren't they going to be official? Isn't it being released at Gen Con officially?
Yeah, but it's still optional, like through WTC.
So just as a point of order, it is the dynamic update is law now. The themes are optional until some point in September.
Correct. And so we will be using those themes.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, it doesn't take long to adjust to them.
Yeah. And
I've actually yet to hear of an event that isn't using them.
Yeah, both of them are currently supported in Conflict Chamber. I've got a handful of bugs on the backlog to take care of probably tomorrow, but it's mostly working now.
So also, if any of you out there and you want to play some Guild Ball and are in the area of the WITC, we're having a Guild Ball event that same day. Same price, $20. We got some extra prize support for that. And the event number over on Longshanks is 2564. So just go sign up for that and then show up and we'll get some games in.
Yay!
Yay!
It'll be a good time. Hopefully the new Free City draft models are legal then.
Yeah, well, I think the ones that they've revealed so far are technically going to be...
I mean, they're legal as soon as I get my damn models.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just not sure how well shipping from Great Britain is these days.
Yeah, no, I ordered mine. I had the same issue that you had with with the PayPal, so it wouldn't accept PayPal at all.
It was so frustrating, David. There was a CAPTCHA button hidden by the PayPal screen, so you couldn't use PayPal.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, actually.
So, you know how when you do PayPal on a website,
yeah,
it brings up like the PayPal window? Yeah. There was a CAPTCHA hidden behind it, so you couldn't click.
Yeah, basically. Do you know how
to? Sure.
Let me introduce you to Chrome Dev Mode.
I tried that.
I even loaded up Microsoft Edge.
Yeah. Here's the thing that's frustrating. This was on a PC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This wasn't even a mobile bug.
No.
And then finally, after like 10 minutes of trying to hit the continue button and it not doing anything because the validation message was also hidden by the window, I finally switched over to using a credit card, and then it worked the first time. And then I got about 5 emails from PayPal saying, don't you want to complete your order?
Yeah, yeah, that was
yeah, I would love to, assholes.
Yeah.
Does anybody in the tabletop gaming world know anything about computers?
No. Generally, their site's been pretty good, though. I mean, I bought a ton of stuff from
SteamForge. More importantly, David, no one in the tabletop gaming universe can like pay for competent computer people because every tabletop gaming industry company is like running on a shoestring. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bootstraps.
Yeah.
Bootstraps.
I mean, even Games Workshop doesn't have their online presence is not all that great. I get annoyed with their website, too.
I mean, it's light years better than anyone else's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it actually works on mobile devices.
Yeah.
And you can see their catalog.
Yeah. I mean, also, I think that's just actually because Games Workshop is, like, conveniently based in a part of the UK that's actually affordable.
Sure.
comparatively speaking, because I mean that's like I think PP's biggest problem with getting tech support is they are in like one of the most expensive metropolitan areas in the country.
Well, it's not just
that. They pay a web developer with experience less than I made in my internship.
Well, you said PP.
Let me just add something to that. Not only are they in an expensive metropolitan area, they are in an expensive metropolitan area that has a lot of competition for developers.
Yes, you could make three times the money working at Microsoft.
I would be surprised if it was only three times, honestly.
Yeah.
Well, also the janitor.
Also, their web designer is probably their janitor as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also is
helping poor cat.
Working casting and yeah.
But it's a labor of love.
It's a company Rainbow. It's a company of many hats. You have to wear many hats for.
And apparently they're halfway through their move. Apparently so.
Oh really? Cool. Sweet.
On a related note, if you have ordered any missing parts requests, be patient.
Yeah. I mean. Come on.
Because half their company is 30 miles away from the other half of the company. And guaranteed, right now, the boxes to ship your order and the parts to ship your order are 30 miles apart.
Also, I have to say, though, too, is as community members, when you have a member of any staff for a gaming company, don't fucking abuse them when they come in and, you know, talk. Yeah. I mean, that's just rude. So, like the Trollblood community was jumping all over Faye last week when the themes were popping out.
And we got to see something absolutely amazing and unprecedented during that, and that was Jake Quimby being the voice of reason.
Well, Jake is generally a nice guy, though, and he's not...
Nice and really, the voice of reason are two different things.
True. Also, you two aren't in the thread, which is politics and conspiracy theories that David and I are with Jake.
Yes.
Like, I have a different view.
Oh, well, he did go to the moon landing conspiracy thing. Was it the moon landing?
It was not actually a moon landing conspiracy theory talk. His wife just lied about the topic to get him there.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What was it?
Some other space exploration thing.
So there's a conspiracy to get Jake to a meeting.
Yeah. He said it was quite interesting, and he felt that it was well played, but he was lied to.
Aw, yeah.
Yeah, well, his wife probably feels the same way about their wedding vows. I'm not exactly sure what I meant by that, but it seemed just mean
that
enough
low.
To me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like the third meanest thing I've ever heard you say.
Yeah, well, counting things I say about myself,
so,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, is this like maybe the second thing I've had to block out of the podcast for mean things said about Jake?
No, I didn't say that he should kill himself and the world would be better without him.
Jesus. That was quoting, and I understand that. Unless you actually meant it, and then I have to cut it.
No, that still falls under the things I say about myself.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
Not something I'd say about Jake.
Yeah, we have a Facebook group for that.
Yes.
I think I unsubscribed from it.
Membership has skyrocketed the last couple weeks. I pointed out that we hit 200, and a lot of people are like, 200 in what group? But I posted the link, and all of a sudden I was up to like 250. It's like, yeah woo!
I've seen a couple posts from it. It's been entertaining.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, in a depressing sort of way.
Yeah.
No, not depressing.
It's realism, not depression.
Not 6-minute abs, seven-minute abs.
Wait, why would you want to spend a more minute on abs?
No, because you can't even get up a sweat in 6 minutes.
No,
you're
it was
crazy.
It was 8-minute abs. 8-minute abs. There's 7-minute abs. It was the new version, wasn't it? I don't remember.
I mean, Americans are fat, so the last time
remember,
they do abs.
You don't remember, and yet you're correcting me.
I'm America. I'm doubting myself now.
The actual thing was 8-minute abs.
Yeah.
The joke thing was 7-minute abs.
Yeah.
The joke thing within the joke thing was recommending 6-minute abs, and that is when the 7-minute abs guy flipped out on the 6-minute abs suggestion.
Okay, yes.
Exactly as I referenced it.
What fucking movie is that?
Good luck. So, I don't think we have any other announcements. There's an event this Saturday. There's the event on the 24th. Gen Con's this weekend. I don't have a Ninja yet. If somebody wants to buy me stuff, you know, call me.
Yeah.
I need Sergeant I need the
You need stuff.
I need stuff. I only need a few things. I need the second Ubercore monster wrote, like, Mechagorgadra, and the Uber Corps building, mm-hmm. and then Sergeant Titanica. I need those things. I don't think there's anything else I need.
Yeah.
It'd be really cool to get the donut one.
I already have one.
No, no, the clear resin ones.
But that's a prize. That's not a ninja shop thing. Also, I don't like the clear resin models. They're not for me.
Yeah. I want Midnight Archons, but I don't need them.
I'm confused because I saw people talk about taking the Dunian Archon like in minion lists, but I don't see where I can do that.
She's a solo for
you. She's a minion.
She's not in War Room. Like, I scrolled through 50 times, and I only ever saw not, the Primal.
Oh, her final card is not released yet. It's only the Archons that are in War Room that have final cards, and the only ones that are coming out of Gen Con are Minite, Marowyn, and Primal.
That explains it, because I took 2 hours trying to research and find the fucking Dunian Archon, and the answer is that she's just not in there?
Correct. The only Minion Archon available right now is
so the people posting Primal lists with her were just typing her in and making me think I was insane, because they had copy and pasted things from War Room, but then must have deleted a different solo and put Dunian Archon so that Nathan thought that he was missing something.
Presumably.
Good times.
Rage.
Well, because I figured it would be will work for food, because the Archons are medium base and blah, 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 but she wasn't fucking in there.
Should be in there for Conflict Chamber.
Unless she's in there when you're making a list, but not when you're just looking at your cards?
No, they did not release Dunia or Void.
Okay.
Yeah, or Thamara. Yep. Or was that?
That makes sense. Three.
Isn't there like some kind of big construct dude?
That's the Primal one.
The Primal one?
Yeah. The Primal one's always minion, so he's in there already. He's got like counter charge and a bunch of random auras of amazingness.
How many points is
three knockdown attacks?
Yeah.
How many
eight?
Points?
He's like eight. Yeah, he's expensive.
That's jack size. But how much health?
12, I think.
15 or 18?
I don't know.
That's not too bad.
Fine, no, I mean, I'll get my phone out and I'll check.
No, that's fine. I was just asking questions.
It's fine, Andy.
Just asking questions. It's you fine. Were just mentioning that you had only one option, and I figure you knew that option and knew the points and all the things with the option.
The topic wasn't the details of the Primal Archon. Right. The topic is whether I could take the Dunian Archon.
The Dunian Archon is in Conflict Chamber, but there aren't final rules yet. That's the awesome. Primal Archon is 18 boxes, Def 12, arm 19, has three separate AoE knockdown attacks, countercharge.
I'm getting old. I'm reading things wrong. I thought that's a divine other word. He's pretty sexy.
Yeah, he's quite good. I mean, fundamentally, all of the Archons are light warjacks, except they have fewer boxes and no access to boost mechanics. They would be ridiculously overpowered if they were actual warjacks. But not having boost mechanics means they're just really strong. Or the primal and Minite are.
I mean, the Mad 8 is pretty sexy on him, from what I saw. Are they, so are the primals, are they going to, I mean, I assume that there's probably going to be some big, huge campaign to see if Oblivion actually happens in the War Machine world.
Well, I mean, the Oblivion box is a campaign.
Correct. But I'm saying like an actual full-on story there. Like they're actually going to like cause the apocalypse to happen in the world. Would they stick around? Would they be still around? Or I assume that the primals, or the, all the...
I mean, the
Denegra 1 died, and she's still around.
Yeah, the Primal Archon, the cards do not have an expiration date on them.
Okay. But in the fluff, they might go away. Yeah, the same. But again, I mean, how many casters are dead and you can still play them? It's the same thing.
Three.
Yeah. More than three.
Four if you count Sturgis. Sturgis, Mordekaiser.
Does Sturgis count twice because he died twice?
No.
Sturgis, Mordekaiser, Denegra, and Severius.
And Zal.
Okay, Zal too, although that's a weird case because he just got better.
Well, and then you get stuff like, I mean, Haley 1. What about Haley 1?
Yeah,
I mean, she was torn in half, right?
Yeah, I mean, like technically Balder Balder died and got better as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Balder may be the weirdest one, that he literally just died and suddenly got better.
And you can still play the crappy, less experienced version of the Krix Sniper Lady. Not Krix, Signar. The Signar Sniper Lady.
Kara Sloan?
Yeah, you can still play Kara Sloan when she was in training.
Oh, yeah. Did she die?
No.
No?
But Kara Sloan is the epic version of the female Journeyman Warcaster model.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Females, I don't know if it's officially, but this,
if
I'm
you look
sure
at them, that is Kara Sloan.
Yeah.
The female journeyman war customer is totally Kara Sloan.
Does she have the same similar spell list too?
No, it's just,
she has the journeyman warcaster spell list.
It's just
I'm talking about Kara Sloan. Does she have the similar spell list?
No. It's more spell list. It's more of an Easter egg than anything.
Yeah,
I mean, fundamentally, we've got things like all of the Zero warcasters completely break every conception of where things work on the timeline, because you can have Sevi Zero who was like 30, which means that
he was a sprightly 50.
Oh, he was 50?
Yeah.
So it was only 30 years ago?
Yes.
So, I mean, basically, so you can have Sevi at an age that was 15 years before Harbinger was born, playing with Harbinger.
Okay. Phrasing, first of all.
Yes.
That's all I had. There was no second of all. There was just the first all of,
I mean, talking about maybe future expansions, I would love to see a Karchev before the armor. Like a
small Karchev, angry man.
Yeah, just a Colden lord that's just very fucking angry with cool powers.
Yeah.
That would be,
I want Karchev Zero. And I want Karchev 2 in Krix.
Karchev 2 and Krix and a battle engine.
That was a missed
engine.
Opportunity in that storyline.
In a battle engine, like in a Wraith engine or something like that?
No, I just want him like
Deathjack. I wanted them to rip Karchev out of his suit of armor and shove him into the Deathjack.
Two skulls of hate and a Karchev of hate.
I would have also accepted an Abathur, like just him in the pod, just floating there.
I mean, I would be okay with Deathjack or a Kraken or a Wraith engine.
I think a Wraith engine would be really cool. I always thought it was weird, though, that the Kraken and the Sepulchre were the Colossals of the faction, and the Wraith engine is the battle engine. It seems like it should always have been the other way around.
Yeah.
It has engine right in its name.
No, but the Wraith engine, it should have been the other way around. It looks more like a Colossal than the Kraken does. The Kraken looks like a battle engine.
It's not called the Wraith Colossal. It's the Wraith engine. Engine's right in its name, Andy.
I mean, the player base would take care of us if this actually happened.
Yes.
It would be the Wraith
Colossal.
And then Travis would have an aneurysm. I hate and
those
probably
names
start shooting.
So much. It bothers me so much just seeing those fucking just weird names. Like, I saw
Sepulchre?
Somebody.
Names?
No, that's fine. No, like Wraith Lossal.
You mean like the fact that Storm Lances exist but don't have the Lance rule?
Slances? They're calling them that now.
I like being on this podcast.
Slances?
Storm Lances.
No, I mean, Storm Lances don't have the Lance rule.
Is that more or less infuriating than saying that I won't mark any corpse tokens on my Ravagers if they all have one?
That is that's dumbest thing
wrong. Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah, get more corpse tokens, noob.
On a scale of Tamwulf to Rancor?
Oh, yeah. Or no, Seval? There you go, David. They're all named Lance. That's the hiring process, is if your name's Lance, they put you on a horse.
Okay, that works. I am satisfied with that. The other thing that bothers me is Ralloc the Ironmonger has no space between Iron and Monger, but the Black Ogryn Ironmongers do. I mean, I may be the only person that notices this because I'm one of the few people that actually types out the names of cards because I have to put them into Conflict Chamber.
So the rest of us don't.
Yeah, but it irritates me on a very deep level. It's like having an itch somewhere that you can't, an itch in the middle of your back that you can't reach, that there is an Ironmonger and an Iron Spacemonger.
Well, I mean, sure. The Iron Spacemonger is from Warcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, or is it like Spider-Man?
No, Spider hyphen man is fine because that's how it's spelled.
Right.
And people just spell it wrong.
What about Batman? Because it was the Batman with a hyphen, and now it's just Batman without a hyphen?
Or the.
Or, yeah. Yeah, so.
It's, I mean, well,
he lost his title.
And Man Bat has got a hyphen, though.
Does it?
Yeah, I think Man Bat does.
I thought Man Bat didn't have a hyphen.
I mean, realistically. It's fine as long as it's consistent. What irritates me is when
it's
inconsistent.
Yeah. Man Bat has a hyphen. But Batman no longer has a hyphen.
What about Batboy?
Batboy. I think Batboy's just two words. I need to find... Batboy's just two words. But
God, I haven't seen that in so long.
I have Week of World News at home. I have just because why wouldn't you save old copies of the Week of World News, including when they sent Batboy over to bite Saddam Hussein during Operation Desert Storm because Batboy became a patriot because everyone became a patriot during Operation Desert Storm.
Did I?
Batboy the Musical. Great soundtrack, Batboy the Musical.
Did Week of World News, did that go under? Has that been under
for
a while?
It went electronic only like 20 years ago. I don't know if it still even has a website. I'll check.
$5, it's GeoCities.
I don't think they would be able to afford more than GeoCities.
WeeklyWorldNews.com, still going strong. Oh, baby. Saturn is a giant UFO, and it's just got a picture of the Death Star. I fucking love you, Weekly World News.
There, see, I brought some light to Nathan's world.
Yeah. Aliens are coming. Be the first to know. Sign up now, and you can give them your email address. That's how they get you on their mailing list.
Did you guys see the meme about The Office and the raid on Area 51?
There's been so many memes about Area 51 that they blend together.
But they basically just have like the ones that like using all the quotes from the meme. Like if we run what's the anime that they're talking about running, that running style,
Naruto.
If we Naruto run, and that was I think that was Dwight and somebody else. But the three people who actually went there was like Kevin, Michael, and somebody. One of the other intern guys, and they died at Area 51, and Krieg is the only one who made it in.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I was reading the World News.
That's fine.
They had their opinion article thing, who was called Ed Anger, and he was basically just like, think of that crazy racist uncle who just screams things during
like, no joke, I think I actually know someone who would say some of those lines.
And this one, the most recent Ed Anger article, was just, I hate the Irish. It's just...
Isn't it like potatoes? Like, or is that maybe...
Why are we just having a big parade for a bunch of weirdos who pray to the Pope, believe in fairies, and blow each other up?
Jesus. Wow.
Wow, indeed.
I'm sorry.
Potato eating, beer puking Pope lovers. That's what they are.
Wow.
And it's hilarious because like 150 years ago, people really were this racist against the Irish. And so it's like getting into a time machine.
I kind of want Brian to read this article out loud.
The two things I just read were the two least offensive sentences from this thing.
Truth.
Oh, good Lord, Week of World News.
I just want to know who Batboy voted for in 2016.
Oh, man. That's... I do not. I know who Ed Anger voted for.
Jill Stein.
Speaking of which, man, that Cats trailer sure exists.
I mean,
holy moly.
Oh, wait, sorry. I did not make the correct puking sound.
Yeah, there's nothing. I don't know why somebody hasn't reprogrammed their alarm clocks to have that, because that's the quickest way to wake me up at night.
My wife and I, no joke, talked about that.
Because you hear that noise, you're like,
ugh! And there's that weird like thunking, like a drum in their esophagus. Correct. It's like, oh no!
And then your pillow gets wet.
Yeah. Oh. And you're like, there's tile all around the place. Why are you on the bed?
Loki never threw up on the bed. He always jumped down like he was going to go someplace, but he just never made it there. So it's like when you're throwing up and you don't make it to the bathroom.
The last time Kato did that to me, I think he was pissed he missed my head.
Speaking of pissed, so we're out of puppy pads, and Georgie has a tiny little puppy bladder, and so he can't always hold it until we get home from work, because with our commute, we're gone for like 10 hours a day, right? So in our bedroom, it's all tile, except that I have a 2 foot or like a 3 foot by 5 foot one of those exercise mats under the exercise cycle that I use for hanging my dirty laundry on, because who are we kidding? I never actually use the exercise cycle.
Yeah.
And he always pees on that mat instead of on the 50 square miles of tile surrounding it.
In fairness, he's using it more than you are.
That is true. but we're both using it for an unintended function. I'm using it as a laundry rack. He's using it as a toilet.
No, you're using the exercise bike as a laundry rack.
Fair. So it's like if you have a laundry room with a toilet in it, so everybody's, yeah, okay, fine, you win.
So the Cats trailer.
Did you see the hour and a half long breakdown I posted on Facebook?
I don't want to see it
anymore. I don't know if they're making a Cats movie. I don't know what anybody was expecting otherwise.
It's fucking weird in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Have you ever read T.S. Eliot's Book of Practical Cats?
I saw the musical. It's the worst thing.
Yeah, it's got one good song.
And they alternate between it and garbage songs back and forth. It plays the good song like 10 times and 10 different garbage songs once each. And then they just prance around on stage in the way too tight onesies. And then they come out into the audience and it's like a horror film. Because you're sitting there and you think you're safe. And then they come down the aisles.
I mean...
But just think that they could be anthropomorthic that.
Just step think back of the for furries. A second. It is,
Nathan, think of the furries.
It is a musical that is based off of a 100-year-old book of children's poems.
That was written on opium.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, people who really like Cats are going to probably enjoy it, and that's fine.
The trailer made me want to do drugs, so I can understand
I'm not its audience, so I honestly don't even care.
Why do they have human faces?
All I can say is, as much as I despise it, I hope it does well because I enjoy musical movies.
On the stage play, they at least painted their faces to have like the nose, like sure. to not have a human nose. Like they could have made them
you don't
look
like,
more cat-like.
You don't like Gandalf Cat?
I do find it weird, though, that some of them are wearing clothes and some are not.
Yeah, some are wearing clothes. One of them's wearing a fur coat. Think about that.
It's
what's with the bedazzled catnip shaker with like glitter in it? Like, is she just raining drugs down on people?
Yes.
Is she just like a drug kingpin?
The other issue with I Have It Too is it's just so much CGI that it just looks too clean. It has that.
It's another uncanny valley peak.
It's supposed to be in an alley in New York. If I understand Cats correctly, it's supposed to be like, you know, a dirty New York setting, isn't it?
I think so.
They're just alley cats. Not necessarily overly dirty, but yeah, it's just they're cats. They meet in an alley. I think there was like a tire on stage when I saw it, but they meet in an alley to decide which cat's going to die and have a UFO take them into cat heaven.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's the plot.
That is the plot of
yeah. What they meet and then they take turns singing a song describing either themselves or a different cat, and then they all sing and dance, and then they sing memories, and then they sing a different song and sing and dance, and then they sing memories again, and they do that for 2 hours, and then they come out in the audience and they twerk on you, and then go back on stage, and then one of the cats dies, and a UFO takes him to cat heaven.
This is what happens when you're on drugs.
Are you fucking with me?
I am not fucking with you. That is the plot, heavy air quotes, of Cats.
So
the UFO may be a cat carrier.
Yeah.
So when do the doctors come and take them away to spay and neuter them?
Yeah. Not soon enough.
But no, I mean, I have been aware of the Book of Practical Cats, which is what it's based off of, and it's just a collection of poems about cats. And I only recently found out that Cats the Musical, which I don't know much about because I've never seen anything that actually recommended it to actually for human consumption. My first thought was, how do you turn a book of children's poems like that into a musical?
The answer is you sing the poems in order, and then it ends with one of the cats dying and going to cat heaven.
Also, the 80s were a magical place, mostly because of cocaine.
Yeah.
I mean, it stayed on Broadway for 22 years.
Hmm? The UFO wasn't in the book, though, wasn't it? Or that was just, what's his name, Weber's creation?
Cocaine.
Yeah.
There's your answer.
Yeah, you've seen the Keel skit about Gremlins 2, right?
Yeah.
That's probably what happened with Cats.
So you take a source, which is opium-era drugs, and then you rewrite it in the cocaine era, and Cats is what you end up with.
And then you do the movie during the meth era.
Honestly, the only real problem I have with the CG is it just looks too clean.
This is a musical, and this is a high-end musical.
The faces are not like I've seen better. I've seen better faces on that the face swaps stuff.
Dude, the shitty cat polymorph scene from Harry Potter looked better.
I don't remember that scene.
Yeah, it's not
for me at all. I mean, Like, I would complain about Sonic, because I feel like that's kind of
one of my coworkers is an asshole, and he sent me a picture that blended Sonic and the cat's character. It was
Sonic.
It was beautiful and revolting at the same time.
Sonic feels like it is for me because it is something that came from my childhood. Yes, the movie itself is probably directed more towards children.
No, he wants to take a shit on your childhood. Who knows? Maybe it'll get saved in post.
If the cats or Sonic?
Sonic.
The thing is, though, they're going to spend...
There is no hope for cats.
No. But they're going to spend so much fucking money and time. They're already crunching to get Sonic out with a better-looking graphics for him. And the script is still going to be shit.
So I have a plot summary and then a note. So plot. Cats is a sung-through musical composed by Andrew Lloyd Webber based on Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats by T.S. Eliot. The musical tells the story of a tribe of cats called the Jellicles, and the night they make the Jellicle choice, deciding which cat will ascend to the heavenside layer and come back to a new life. Now, the note...
This is what cats actually believe.
No. Now, the note... And spoilers.
Fuck it.
The method in which Grizabella ascends to the Heavenside Lair varies depending on the production. In the original London and Broadway production, she climbs up a stairway that emerges from the ceiling. In the 1990s and 2000s scaled-down touring production, she ascends via a flying saucer-like vehicle. Spoilers, Grizabella ascends. Although I believe the trailers for this cat says introducing Chucklenuts as Grizabella, so you know that's the main character, so it's not a surprise. Also, seriously, the fuck? Also, all of the songs are terrible except for Memories.
Correct. And there's a really easy
way to... That's the only song I know from it.
Because the rest are terrible.
Yes. I made a mistake and once added another cat song to my musical channel on Pandora, and then I removed it.
I was in theater camp, and the wackadoodle batshit insane hippies in theater camp, of which, honestly, you know, I was 80% of one, but there were some parts where I was like, come on, you fucking hippies. And they liked shit like Mr. Mistopheles, and no, it's all garbage. It's all hot garbage.
I remember that character.
Yeah. Oh, never was there ever a cat so clever as the magical Mr. Mistopheles.
Jesus, Nathan, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's in my head. I can hear it. Because I listened to that trying to make it with theater girls. Because they'd be listening to that soundtrack. And the whole point of theater camp, as we all learned from like band camp in American Pie, you only go to these camps in high school to try to get laid. Because you're a desperate, nerdy virgin. And you hear stories. And American Pie lied. That's I went to a lot of theater camp, and I never got any fucking action.
That's why I mean, was in choir.
In fairness, would you have been able to perform with that song in the background?
Just blaring.
In high school, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or with the clarinet?
It might have made it so it lasted a little bit longer.
Put it on again.
Never was a hammer, so clever and
because the Weber's done decent things, though.
He has. He's all right
Phantom
sometimes.
Phantom is not bad.
Yeah, no, it's just cats. It's hot fucking garbage. Yeah. I like Phantom well enough. I'm more of a Sondheim guy, and then I really, of course, like the Gilbert and Sullivan. Gilbert and Sullivan are my go-to.
Yeah,
but as far as modern stuff, I think I prefer Sondheim over Weber in general, but Weber has decent stuff.
Sullivan, didn't they do...
I mean, if it's something old and British, King. Yes. Pirates of Penzance, yes. HMS Pinafore, Mikado, all of that is Gilbert and Sullivan. But Sondheim, because Weber's got the musical incel in the basement in France, but Sondheim has Puerto Rican Romeo and Juliet, and everybody likes Puerto Rican Romeo and Juliet, and then he has
Sweeney Todd.
I'm going to make Nathan turn red, but the two musicals I like are the Three Penny Opera and Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're the one that has argued with me that it's not a musical.
I don't remember doing such a thing. I think you eventually won that fight.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember that. I don't think I would have argued that. If I was, I was trolling you because
they made
a documentary about the soundtrack to that movie, and that's one of my favorite documentaries. Like the music of that movie is incredibly important.
Yeah. I don't remember if it was a good Wednesday night or a good episode, but it was worth hearing the argument.
Yeah, I was probably just devil's advocating the shit out of you because
we argued over like 2 or 3 weeks.
Here and now, I will say that.
Okay.
Yeah, Les Mis, for some reason, didn't hit real big in my theater group.
Oh, it was big in ours. We did a lot of songs for that, for choir.
Yeah, when I was in high school, Les Mis was the big thing.
It's a solid, fun thing to sing.
Yeah, Les Mis is all right.
Mm-hmm. Not everyone
Master
dies.
Of the House. Everybody likes Master of the House. Mm-hmm. And everyone who dies is French, so really it's win-win.
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 I just want to get more people to watch the Threepenny Opera.
I mean, sure. What about Repo, the genetic opera?
Yes. Actually, I
does
I
that like one does that one technically count as a musical?
Yes.
I'm trying.
I would assume it is.
It or has is it? Spoken lines.
Okay.
Also, it's weird where you get from a musical to an operetta to an opera.
Yeah.
And it gets
like I said, I couldn't remember where on the continuum it is.
It's got.
I mean, is it spoken lines or just spoken word music?
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, Anthony Head,
Cannibal? Cannibal the Musical by Trey Parker and Matt Stone from their pre-South Park days.
Repo is still significantly better.
Repo is better, but if we're going to debate whether it is a musical, it might not count. The winning cat takes a UFO into cat heaven, Andy.
I'm actually wanting to go see this now.
Yeah.
Nathan, will you go see this with me?
It's disturbing. Mm-hmm. You know how big of a generation of furries are going to be awakened by this?
Is it going to be worse than Space Jam?
In Space Jam? The new Space Jam is probably going to be horrible.
There's a new Space Jam?
There's a new Space Jam coming.
Okay.
Is Michael Jordan in it?
No.
Is it Kobe?
No.
Or no, who's that one that's not Kobe?
Yes. LeBron James.
Yeah, is it LeBron?
I think it's LeBron James, yeah.
Or is it Shaq?
No.
Shaq's always welcome.
Do you see the video of Shaq at some kind of techno concert? He was in the middle of a mosh pit and headbanging.
It's amazing.
Just, can you just imagine seeing that in a mosh pit? And you're like, I'm out of the mosh pit. You win.
Yes.
You win. I am not slammed into that.
I mean, there needs to be a Bane mask involved in that. That would be perfect.
For you.
Yeah. No, I would happily pain train Cats the Musical. I think that's going to be... The only way I'll see it is if I'm doing it for content. I got a luchador mask for you.
I mean, we can do that. I'm not in a job that requires a piss test.
Well, I mean, yeah. I definitely heavy drinking. We could drink every time they do something horrible.
We could drink every time something disturbing happens, and somebody will have to be there to carry us to the hospital.
Your liver will be beyond saving. Like, it's just going to be like a direct feed. Like, hook the bottle of liver clear up to an IV.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Shaq. Go, Shaq, go.
It's just fucking huge in that pit.
Like, that's one of those things where it's like, that's interesting. Then I remembered, the rest of those people are 6 foot plus.
Seriously, though. Like... Everything about their size is weird. Like, I know you're trying to make them like cats in the real world, but like,
why?
Yeah,
they're so damn naked.
They just take the one step further than what the Broadway show had. There you just had makeup, and they've just taken it one step further than that. And then I think that
it's stylism versus realism.
They didn't need to go that one extra step.
Yeah, why do they only have two boobs?
Furries.
Yeah.
Not real furries, but casual furries.
I don't like it.
So here,
no, sir, I don't like it.
Explain this one to me.
Mr. Horse.
So they're remaking everything else in existence, and they're doing a faithful adaptation of this one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. I don't want to. I just.
I think folks, the folks that are
the folks that like it will like it. The rest of us will be cringing in a different theater.
But what? Yeah, you like cats. Okay, like the actual animals. Does that mean you want to see creepy CGI Rebel Wilson falling on a mouse trap?
Maybe.
Nobody wants to see creepy CGI Rebel Wilson falling on a mouse trap.
I was with you, but then you put the second clause in there. That was unnecessary.
Yes, yeah. No, okay. That's all I have. I needed to get that out of my soul.
Do you feel better, or are you just a broken man?
Both. Oh, did we want to talk about Oblivion, since technically that came out after the most recent episode we've done, and in theory that we have things to talk about?
Yeah. I am concerned about the Harbinger double judicator. I'm concerned about Harbinger single judicator plus other stuff, because Harbinger is, I think, was already the best caster in the game, and now she doesn't have to take shitty infantry like she used to. Since that was realistically the only change for Harbinger, is now Faithful Masses doesn't make you take fucking Hammer Dwarves.
Hey, Hammer Dwarves are good.
Well, I mean, they were the best option for that slot, but now you can just take Protectorate Jacks, which are amazing, instead of Protectorate Infantry, which is kind of meh, and still have your 9 free shield guards. 9 free martyrable shield guards.
I mean, I will continue to play against Harbinger in the same way as I did, which is assume that most Harbinger players are incompetent and will kill themselves through martyrs.
I mean, this is reasonable that Harbinger is not a particularly easy caster
Correct.
To play.
For the level that I plan on playing, I'm okay with that plan.
I'll just backlash you to death. Take that!
Shielding.
What?
Shielding.
What?
She can has choir, so she can make it so that you can't cast on her jacks.
What?
Yeah.
All of her jacks?
Yeah.
Well, whatever's jacks. In range of a choir member.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, she may have up to 3, but she will have more choir than jacks.
Oh.
See, this is the planning for team events. Always when I have plans for Harbinger, they don't work as well with passaged or shielding tough jacks.
What if I just kill all of their choir?
Yeah, that'll work.
Okay, I'll just do that. I'll spray the choir to death because you can't shield guard that because that was a typo. And then once the choir's all dead, then I'll backlash her to death.
Yeah, but you've got to survive another turn to do that. Because killing the choir doesn't drop it, but they won't be able to do it until the next turn.
Yeah,
there we go. How are you going to kill the choir?
With sprays.
Okay.
With sprays and arcable shrapnel swarms.
I mean, the other option, too, is chloroform.
Mm-hmm.
And a little rag. Then you don't have to worry about
You forgot the old metal behemoth.
Or I just play my Arcadius list and then just
God
take
damn
the
Andy, she's
off
15.
The table with half of my...
No, I'm talking about the player playing with the Harbinger.
She's 15, Andy.
Arcadius is probably a fantastic solution to it.
Yeah.
I mean, in a team event, I think your typical solution is throw somebody under the bus and they go get a corn dog.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm going to be list chickening a lot of people with Arcadius and then another list that handles infantry.
No.
Although my Arcadius list does have a Battle Boar in it. Maybe I'll put a second Battle Boar in there because each one of them wipes out a unit per turn, and we'll see how that goes.
Not into Harbinger.
No. Against her, yeah. I'm just killing the Judicator and then winning. Like, if she wants to be murdering random choir members behind the Judicator that doesn't exist anymore, that's fine. I'm okay with that.
But, yeah, I mean, that list just has solutions to so many things, and it's hard to build around both having the 3 units of initiates and having either adjudicator or adjudicator and avatar and another couple of heavies.
It's just so weird that considering when Mark III hit, how low the Harbinger was looked upon when she was first brought out. It was with her nerf feet, and she just doesn't. And now she's basically one of the top casters in Protectorate.
I think she's the best caster in the game right now, not just in Protectorate.
Strong words.
Mm. I mean, High Reclaimer got a substantial buff as well because he now has a seriously good double Judicator build because he can play in Exemplar Interdiction, take 2 Judicators, get all free cards, and still have 2 units to fuel his feet.
It's true.
So I think.
I mean, the counterpoint is at least now I can like use defensive range spells.
Yeah. Yeah. The shooting threat of Exemplar Interdiction Judicators went down because they Blessed only works on their melee attacks. But I mean, I think overall that the top Protectorate stuff got mostly better.
Kriyas, I'm trying to remember. Judicator rockets are not fire typed, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
The sprays are. The rockets are not.
Okay.
The Krios probably got worse, but Harbi and High Reclaimer, I think, both got better.
Can you martyrdom stuff anytime it dies?
Yes.
No restriction to whether it be an attack or cutting itself.
You can shoot your dude in the back of the head and then martyr him.
Okay.
And it you can martyr off of Eleaps. It is on disabled and not on disabled from an attack.
Fair enough. Fair.
So yeah, I am.
So remember, the correct answer is always martyr.
Yep.
Yep. So yeah, I mean,
like, I know how to play this game. I mean, I will just give Harbinger players bad advice.
Yeah. I think that the standard one of the reasons that all of my competitive output is in team events right now is because I love being able to look at this and say, yes, the solution is corndogging. And by corndogging, it means you go for a top of two assassination, and if that fails, you go get a corndog.
I mean, that's how I play it every round too.
And then wait for your team to win the other two games because you just got thrown under the bus. And in a team tournament, only one out of your three games is possibly going to be into Harbinger. So if you can take advantage of that, theoretically, you can get advantage matchups on the other one. Or you can play some lists that look like they're good into Harbinger and make the other team think that you've got a plan into Harbinger other than corndogging it.
I mean, on the other hand, as a Minions player with Swamp Gobber Chefs in my list, I still have the option of losing during my first maintenance phase. Actually, that's a lie. During my first control phase. So I can just go first and lose the game during my control phase without ever activating a model.
Okay.
So if I'm facing something I don't want to play against, I can just do that.
How does this work?
Because having the Gobber Chef gives all of your warrior models within its command range comfort food. Yeah. So I just say, Arcadius gets eaten by this battle boar, and then I walk away.
Now, Nathan, do it with style. Razor boar.
Sure. Razor boar eats Arcadius to remove zero fury points. You win. Just if it's somebody I really don't want to play against, like Jeremy Patterson.
What?
It's funny because he's in chat.
Not anymore.
Oh, no. Now it's not funny anymore. Now it's mean. Nope. See, he's still in chat. So it's back to being funny again.
Good times.
But other than that, Circle didn't get nerfed much. Iona lost Phantasm, which means you can shoot her. However, the European players keep telling me that Baldur 1 is actually better at Devourer's Host than Iona.
Sure, and he's still as boring as he always has been.
He's still as boring as he always is, and I disagreed with that for a long time because I kind of looked through it through a protectorate lens, and when you consider running pairings where both casters have purification, Baldur 1 isn't that scary. Baldur 1 didn't get touched. Iona is a little bit weaker, and the Lord of the Feast is no longer a caster in and of himself. So Circle got taken down a notch, but not too bad. Scorn probably got a buff with the huge buffs to Disciples of Agony.
Legion is amazing.
Legion is
I don't know if it's good, but it's amazing as a Legion player.
Yeah, Legion went from having two builds in one theme to having most of their themes playable.
I think you can build legitimate lists in all four of them.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't know if they're gonna be like top tier good or not, but I actually I'm at the point where I'm actually like asking for models back from my painter who's had them since not this past Adepticon, but the Adepticon before.
Yeah. I mean, Children of the Dragon especially just got completely opened up.
Mm-hmm. Well, all of them did.
Yeah. Honestly, the faction that probably got the greatest benefit from the themes is probably Signar, because there are
But they're all angry. Like, nothing has changed.
The Signar community will always assume Signar is terrible. Signar opened up list building a lot, and I think there's a lot of interesting stuff there, especially with the buffs to Precursor Knights and the multiple ways to play Precursor Knights and get their defense up to reasonable values.
Well, not only that, I mean, Signar is one of those factions that always wanted to have, like, juniors running jacks in every list, and now that doesn't actively hurt you.
Yeah, I mean, now that it is possible to have three juniors in a list without
you'll now see the Trencher Warcaster.
Yeah,
like I don't even know what that guy does. because I have not seen one since the the first CID.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and just the fact that now you don't no longer have to play really tight on points to get all of your free cards when you're taking your arcane shield caster in every non Gravediggers list.
I say, I'm playing Guild Ball for WITC, but I'm really looking forward to reading through the lists,
mm-hmm.
just because I think those lists and the WTC lists this year are going to be very creative.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the 2016 WTC,
yep.
where everyone's just like, let's throw some shit at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah, also, the...
we should start a counter now for like how many Polish lists you just go, what the fuck? I mean, like normally it's two, and I think this year it's going to be all five.
Yeah. And Storm Knights got Unyielding, which means Storm Lances are good again. I mean, I think with the fact that it's easier to fit in the junior, and you can get away with with lists either more on the infantry side or more on the Jack side. I think Storm Division got a lot better. Heavy Metal got radically better. So I mean, I think Signar is going to be a dark horse because Signar is going to have to win some events before there's anything close to a signals noise ratio in the Signar community, because that's how the Signar community works. And I'm sorry if anybody is listening and is participating there, but honestly, I'm telling the truth.
Yeah,
he said dark horse, but he was talking about Gav. What? Oh, I thought it was a Katy Perry reference.
Oh.
Wait, what? I just kind of wish the last chorus of that song didn't end with that guy talking. I wish she actually finished like the high note just for the last chorus.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Katy Perry song, Dark Horse.
Don't know it.
Dan knows what I'm talking about, and he thinks I've got a semi-valid point.
I would have to listen to it again to hear the exact point, but like that seems completely reasonable from what I remember of that song.
High five.
Okay.
Go on with whatever you were talking about.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm saying Signar, I think, is going to be a dark horse for a while, but I think they have a lot of good builds now.
Like the Katy Perry song, Dark Horse.
Sure.
Okay.
I am frustrated with Rhett because Rhett's defenders seems to have gotten a nerf. For at least part of the ways you build it, and Rhett seems to be horribly crutching on Tridents right now. Let's see if the other factions I like. Kador looks amazing because Jaws is amazing, and Irrus 2 now can play in Jaws and buff the hell out of Kayazi and have a forest in the center of the table.
Fair.
And I mean, across the board, I mean, Kador frees up building. I haven't sat down with it, but I think Sorsha 3 is going to become significantly better in Armored Core because you're not stuck. You're not stuck on
pretty much every Armored Core. Like Sorsha 3 build just got a free card.
Yeah, yeah. Because I mean, Sorsha 3 is a great combined arms caster that was hamstrung in an environment which really didn't like to see combined arms casters. Not combined arms casters, but combined arms lists. And now that she can do that with a lot more freedom, I think there's something there. What are the other factions?
I feel like
Crix got kicked in the knees.
I feel like people are, the lists I see people making, like the excitement I see revolving around Oblivion, I'm seeing a lot less infantry in general. I've seen people bringing battle engines, colossals, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, it's like Mark III when it first hit, where I was like, I can play with all my jacks. Yeah. That lasted for about 2 months. Then we're like, nope, we're back to infantry.
Yeah.
And then Madrek happened, so we're back to jacks. And then Madrek didn't happen. We're back to infantry. Like,
well, I mean, part of the problem is that, the problem with pre-Oblivion Mark III theme design is that you had jack themes and you had infantry themes, and if you're taking one or the other, you had to be heavily focused on one or it just didn't work. And the jack themes, up until Black Industries, all of the jack themes are terrible. And most of the infantry themes are good, and so people played in the infantry themes and took a lot of infantry because you got actively punished if three quarters of your list wasn't infantry. And so that is changing, and so a lot of the things that really want to be combined arms can now be combined arms. Like once I'm done with the WITC, I'm going to put Krios 3 on the table because I love Krios 3, but he's actually like buildable now, and beforehand he really wasn't.
Fair.
So yeah, I mean we're seeing.
I'm sure people will figure out a new balance point, but right now as everything's up in the air.
Well, I mean,
it's not Midas. I don't care.
This is the
rude
Midas for life.
Okay, I'll make a Midas list next.
Is it going to be any better than the one I sent you before?
I don't remember the one you sent me before. I do need to try to make. When I get home, I have to count. I think it's 28 razor bores I have, so I need to go ahead and make my list that has all 28 razor bores. Because then with Midas, that's actually 56 razor bores, and that's hilarious.
Yep.
I wish it would fix this.
What?
If you look in the Kador units.
You can't take the Great Bears?
No. Scroll down to the bottom of the unit list.
Zerkova 2 is a Kador unit.
Yeah.
Well, she is a Kador unit.
She is a Kador unit, but it's really annoying, even under the new build. And she's been out how long? She's all over because she's also Doom Reavers.
I mean, which program is this in?
Yeah, so you are once again assuming anything competent will come out of Tinker House.
Yeah.
Like, I am legit shocked that the update published when it did, and we haven't hit an app bug yet.
Back to what Dan was saying about people will find the balance point. I think the great thing about the Oblivion era themes is that balance point is going to be per theme and per caster, because the combined arms casters are going to run combined arms, and the infantry casters are going to run infantry heavy, and the jack casters are going to run jack heavy. And that is all good.
I wish Carver's so split in his identity, because his spells are all like battle group, and then his feat really wants him to have a lot of infantry to really maximize on the extra dice.
Yeah.
I would like it better if two Roadhogs.
Yeah, I'd have to get an extra point somewhere, which means either one of the Bow Trides or, yeah.
Right. Has anyone ever said that before, like that a list would be better with two Roadhogs?
Well, upgrading a Warhog into a Roadhog. Yeah, no.
Well, it's because
we were scraping the barrel previously.
I mean, and the reason it would be better is because the thing that always scares me about Arcadius is the Roadhog coming from like 3 miles away.
Yeah.
And this I can defend against because I only have to watch one spot, not two.
Sure. Although with Lanissa Rissel, it threatens.
So it's like 4 miles away.
Yeah, I think it threatens. Does,
yes.
Yes.
It goes pretty far.
But like I said, it's one model that can go pretty far. And I've played against Malakarn enough to sometimes be able to defend against one model that can go very far.
Yeah,
like you've got 32 inches, I think. Because his feet charge would get 10. And then its normal charge would then get 12. And then the spray is 10 more inches. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But like I said, I can defend against one. Two is where it gets awkward.
Yeah. If it's just one, you can stop it from getting anything that's critical. If it's two, it's a lot harder.
Like, I am not too proud to hide like a bitch behind a building if that's between me and the Roadhog.
A lot harder. Harder.
Okay.
Like Baba more is, difficult.
Baba is no longer you.
Oh no. I lost track. Are you going through every faction?
I think we're basically done.
I mean, I was mostly talking about the factions I play, which is like most of them. So.
Oh, yeah. Fuck Osram. That is all.
Okay, yeah. Crucible Guard list building is a lot better because you can take what you want without losing free cards. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the last comment I had. It's mostly Harbinger concerns me. Scorn is probably also above the curve, but everything else seems fine.
I'm still at the point where I'm happy there's new boogeymen. I will get angry at them soon enough.
I am really happy that any of my stuff, if I pull up Conflict Chamber to edit a list, I don't have any preconceptions as to what needs to be there, because I don't immediately say, okay, how do I get my 60 points, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge upgrade.
It is much more fun when you can write a list using 100 points instead of 15.
Yep.
All right. Anything else? Or the Zoopily Duples?
Zoopily Duplies.
Well, I'm not ready for that.
Oh, I am ready. I am prepared.
All right.
Dan's got it.
All right. Have you seen the Hasbro's Insane Unicron model?
Yes.
There's more text, but I skimmed it a bit.
Okay. Yes, it's big. It's insane.
Maybe we can all chip in and get one for the table.
It costs as much as a couple of Large Games Workshop models.
Yeah. I mean, it looks sexy as hell. Like, it's one of those things that is worth what it costs, but holy shit, does it cost a lot.
And I'd say, to be honest...
But that's almost an Indiegogo. They need pre-orders before they actually make it.
And I don't blame them for doing that. Yeah. Like, they are actually handling it from a business perspective very well.
See, I misread it, and I thought it said unicorn, and I was trying to see if there was some super badass unicorn that was worth, like, $600. And then when it was Unicron... Yes. But I was like, oh, I can get this for my stepdaughter. She likes unicorns. It was not a unicorn.
I should say, like, Forge World models. Although realistically, what was it? The Tau Manta that was like $2,500?
Yes. Speaking of which, did you guys catch the drama about the guy in Texas who just 3D printed 3 Forge World tanks and bright neon plastic, duct taped them to some cardboard, and then won a local event?
Yep.
Yeah.
I
don't know why that exploded, because the technology to do that has been there for a while. And
I think it exploded because he made zero effort into hiding it at all.
They weren't painted. They weren't on good bases. They were on literal cardboard cutout circles and neon green, and he won an event.
So why are they pissed off at him as opposed to whoever was running the event and said, yeah, you can do that?
Yeah,
there was plenty of that, too. I mean, there was,
that's what should be.
There was a whole bunch of old man yells at Cloud, like, which... That one was dumb. My argument is, like, just spray them black and spend $15 on 3 GW bases, and no one would have noticed or cared.
Yeah.
Like,
and honestly, I mean, again, this is the old man yells at Cloud, because in 10 years, everything in our hobby is going to be 3D printed, because tabletop manufacturers won't be able to maintain a product chain that is profitable compared to 3D printing. Hmm.
But like I said,
I don't know how the revenue model is going to happen, but I'm pretty sure the production is going to go that way.
So, anyways, that day.
No. All
right. After not playing War Machine since like 3 months after Mark III came out, is it worth getting back into? And how much stuff approximately am I going to have to get to be able to play? Mainly ran combined arms Kricks with Banes and Jecks.
Yes, and have to nothing.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I think we are better. So the first answer is yes, it's worth playing. Mm-hmm. And I think we are better positioned than we have ever been for a mix of Banes and Jacks to work.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think with the changes to, I mean, I say Black Industries got nerfed, but one of the things it did pick up was ambushing Mechanithralls in theme and 3 free Brute Thralls as a requisition option.
Oh, and also in that theme you can take Cephalix, so you can do a recursion engine in that theme now. It's not great, but it actually functions without taking Nyss. Although you could also just take Nyss in that theme now, because that doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Hooray!
So,
Underachieve Myra is unfieldable because Wield Secrets is bad because Nyss Hunters exist. That's my impression of the Minions group on Facebook.
Okay.
That is my answer to the Minions group on Facebook.
Wield Secrets for free is terrible because one unit in the game doesn't benefit from it.
Nathan, you could never be Baba.
It's perfectly fine. All
right.
Baba is Purity Seal.
Yay!
Zevi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a date for ATC yet?
Did you post that, Dan?
No.
I don't know if...
Oh, no.
No.
No, we don't have a date for ATC. I was trying to remember why we didn't have a date for ATC. We are working on something as far as where and when ATC will be, that there might be changes, and until we finalize that, there's venue discussion going on, and depending on the venue that we go to, the date might be different. So far, no, but look to the future for announcements and exciting changes.
I'd say, practically speaking, after this weekend, Travis has time to think about events, which helps our planning process. He's our primary event venue contact.
Correct.
And after Gen Con, he can actually think.
Yeah, well, it's not even a thinking thing. I mean, we have
ideas.
The discussions are under route for what we want to do, and we need to finalize those discussions. Mm-hmm. So, but hopefully soon, because those discussions are in a good position. So I am fairly confident things will go the way that we want them to go and soon, and thus we can announce soon, but fairly confident doesn't always work out. Just look at Midway. Because the Japanese were very confident.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering which Midway failure.
The airport is terrible.
Well, I mean, there's like multiple Midway sucks. I wasn't sure which one you were picking.
Which war? The Revolutionary War, they took the JFK airport.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it was but the Spanish-American War where we had to take Midway from the Prussians.
Zappity.
Andy, give me something else soft and fluffy to hit him with.
That's fine. Zappity, owlbear
right up there.
No.
Stop hitting me with things.
Don't need to bring a derp bear into
that. Just how nuts is Hashtag right now? What the fuck's a Hashtag?
I didn't know what that question meant, so I skipped it.
What's a Hashtag?
I think that's their Hasbro crowdfunding thing they're doing.
Hashtag. Transformers. Yeah, Hashtag is a fan term used to refer collectively to Hasbro and Takara, particularly in situations where it isn't clear what company. Who the fuck is Takara?
Is that the Japanese company that actually does?
Yeah,
that Takara Tomy. Takara before the merger with Tomy is Japanese toys company. Oh, okay, yeah. So, I mean that if that Unicron is anything to judge them by, Hashtag is super awesome. That's my stance.
Okay,
this
sure.
Doesn't make any sense
because he isn't one.
Zavity.
We have we have content on chat. There has been no Dead Cells talk today. Unfortunately.
But Andy was playing Dead Cells when we got here.
I was playing Dead Cells. I made a mistake in the game, and as Dave knows and as anybody else knows, if you take the stupid blueprint extractor out, it's a major hamper. It sucks because you're playing with only one trap or one other utility.
Well, yeah, you're gimping 25% of your offensive output for a chance at something decent.
Oh, shit, guys. I think we got that wrong. I apologize for rewinding the topic, but Hashtag is a village in Selaki Yakutakari Rural District in Basharat District, Alaguards County in the Lorestan Province in Iran. As of the 2006 sentence, its population was 108 in 20 families. Mm-hmm. So
I have less opinion now than I did.
Yeah, I haven't been keeping up on the status of that Hashtag, but you know,
I mean, it's probably going well.
It's probably going all right. That average is about 5 per family.
I'll say
that's a decent.
That sounds like
size.
A small enough village that nothing happens.
Yeah, yeah, I'm fully in favor of Hashtag.
Well, with that many children per family, apparently a lot of sex happens.
Well, I mean, at least 3 times on average. Well, no, not
kids.
Necessarily, huh?
4 kids. 20 families and 128 people.
Is approximately 5 per family. 5.5.
6. 120 divided
20
by.
Times... it's 108.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said
20 families. No, 108 in 20 families.
Okay, so
families. Yes, 5. I was like, what? What? Yeah, no. Mm-hmm. Point is, Hashtag good time. They're getting it on. I apologize. Back to
no, Zavity.
Back to Dead Cells. You give up something. You give up something in exchange for something.
Doesn't matter.
It was on my phone. It distracted me, Andy. I'm sorry.
Doesn't matter.
You made a mistake.
No.
Okay. Dead Cells continues
something
to be
to do with your blueprints.
No.
Dead Cells continues to be awesome. Next topic.
Borderlands 3 character most excited by.
I haven't had time to look at it yet.
I will until it comes out.
Yeah. I'll play it when it comes out.
This might be the first Borderlands where I don't know already which character I'm going to play. Like, I'm not going to play is it Zane? The guy who, like, disappears because that ability sucked on Zero.
Is there a sniper? I'll probably play the sniper.
Yeah, probably. There's your... Siren.
There's a melee
there's
siren.
There's the Siren. Who isn't necessarily melee, because that's the interesting thing with having the different ults now, is she can be melee or she can be a grab like Maya was in Borderlands 2. So there's the Siren. There's the one who summons a mech to ride on / pilot, which seems a lot of fun for multiplayer.
There's the soldier-ish.
Yeah. And then there's the pet wrangler.
Another hunter,
basically. Another hunter, basically.
Like
Mordecai.
Yep.
Because whenever I start playing Borderlands, I either go for the sniper or the soldier, and eventually, by the time I get to the end of the game, I have turned the soldier into a sniper.
Yeah, I mean,
the Skyrim approach.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what Borderlands has. I will buy it and I will play it, ignoring everything that the internet says about them because I could care less how the proper build is. It's my game. I'm going to have fun with my game.
Yeah, that is my yeah. Dan has it exactly with Skyrim because it's every time it's like I will not play a stealth archer, and 20 hours later it's like fuck, I'm a stealth archer.
Zapada.
Grumble.
So you trade offensive power for survivability with the Spartan sandals? Were you, what is that? What it was?
No, you already know. I already told you before the cast. I took the blueprint extractor. I took it all the way to the fucking caverns, and there's the crusher things,
yeah,
which are the big fucking huge beasts, and you get a really cool weapon out of it, which is basically Thor's fucking hammer. And I used the blueprint extractor on him. He went elite, which that's what they do, and then he split into two, and then I killed one of them, and then I got the blueprint extractor from there, and it wouldn't work on the other elite. So I wasted the entirety of the game to get to that point to try to get the blueprint out of that fucking creature.
But why did that happen? Why did it give you another blueprint extractor instead of giving you the blueprint you wanted?
Because I killed the wrong one. I killed the wrong clone, basically, is what happened.
And then killing the right one, you don't get anything? You just flip a coin and you're fucked if you kill the wrong
no,
one?
No, you're supposed to bring him down to a certain health percentage and then activate the blueprint extractor off of that beast. And then the blueprint pops, and I couldn't use the blueprint extractor because I killed the wrong clone.
Oh.
It's French.
Yeah, why was it the wrong clone?
I killed number two.
Fair.
I mean, number three is still alive. I mean, he's fine.
What?
Number three. He's the best.
He does like pizza.
He does like pizza.
Actually, that's number four.
Is it number four?
Well, I mean, would the first clone be number two?
Yeah.
Or is the first clone number one?
No, I think it's...
Because it was the third clone. So is he number three or is he number four?
No, he's... yeah, I think... No, number two is the first clone.
Yeah, because they're number three. The original is still number four. One.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
I couldn't remember. That was a legit question. Yeah. I didn't know how they numbered themselves.
Nope. Number four was
maybe I'll cosplay as number four next time I go to like a convention. Just nail some planks of wood to some boots. Just tromp around and see who figures it out.
You got to wear a boot for a helmet, yeah, for a hat. Is that what Supreme Vermin? Supreme?
Vermin
Maybe
Supreme.
Vermin Supreme Vermin is Supreme? Actually one of the characters from
Number
Multiplicity.
Four?
Yeah.
It's just an older version of him.
Figured it out.
Yeah.
Figured it out.
Oh, come on, Zombie Dude. This is no worse than normal. It's probably actually better than normal because I learned something just then.
Yeah. We have had high quality information that we've spread this episode.
And
yeah,
the Cats trailer. Zappity. We got more Zappity grumbles now.
Yep, we got more.
What? Zappity grumble pho or ramen? Boon bo hua.
I mean,
neither. Nathan is confused.
Like,
I don't eat noodles.
But what? But warm, salty broth, always good.
I don't eat noodles.
To be honest with you, I don't. When this I make ramen, I don't actually make any of the broth at all. Right? I just make the noodles, and then I pour it. Then I put.
You two need to marry and Jack Sprat the fuck out of ramen. Just make it normal. He can drink the sauce. You can eat the noodles. Everyone can be happy.
No, the I mean,
well, the thing is, though, I use the sauce packets in with the noodles, so I just pour that whole thing in there, so it's just like full on salt.
from
and then
usually,
I put some hot stuff in there.
From usually trying to eat low carb and at various times doing it very successfully, I found out that certain things in my diet were acquired tastes because when I am good on my diet, I would stab a fool for a cinnamon roll. But I have just decided that I don't like noodles or rice. I love bread, but noodles and rice are meh.
I like ramen.
Yeah.
Ramen's fine.
My 12-hour ramen recipe backs me up.
I mean, noodles are like the best. Everybody likes noodles. Like spaghetti and fettuccine and everybody likes noodles.
Yeah, I don't even
There's
like
a whole
pasta.
Restaurant that's nothing but noodles and company.
I mean, if I go there, I'll get the zucchini because that actually tastes better than
grumble.
Rice is the weird one. That it's like after being very good for a year, I had a plate of rice and I was like, this shit is disgusting.
Oh, what? I have thoughts on his dark material.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't have any.
It's a new TV series that's coming out.
Yeah, it's based on those books. It's the Golden Compass thing, right? Because the Golden Compass was the first book in the His Dark Materials series. Hmm. And, I mean, the movie was surprisingly not terrible, so maybe the series will be good. I've heard at the end they kill God.
It's
spoilers.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, that's why people were mad. Like, it was supposedly, like, people were grumpy because it was anti-Christian because God is in it as like a physical entity and it's not a very flattering depiction. Well, like he's a shriveled little goblin.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't read the books, but as far as I understand it, that the author is an atheist and it's kind of evangelical. It's written from an evangelical atheist perspective,
right.
And I am an atheist and I get annoyed by evangelical atheist perspectives, so sure. I never bothered reading it.
Well, somebody should form a petition and get everyone to sign it to tell Showtime to stop making that show.
Yeah. I mean, it does have like a talking polar bear in armor, and that's pretty cool.
And the armor bears come from a place called Svalbard, which I've convinced my wife that we can go to on vacation sometime because I want to go to Svalbard.
Yeah, I mean, it's got that going for it.
We didn't even talk about anything about MCU stuff that came out of Comic-Con. That was 2 weeks.
I don't care about any of it.
No?
There are a bunch of movies coming out. We'll get hyped for them when they come out.
They'll come out. I'll see them out of obligation. Some will be okay. Some will be surprisingly amazing. And my wife will continue in my obligation to see Marvel films 3 times a year until I die.
Correct. They have made them routine. They are going to fall from their own success.
I mean, we've been saying that for 5 years now. Like, it's still chugging along.
I mean, that's because we're betting against American stupidity.
I guess. I mean, I have nothing against it. It's just, I just understand it's just part of my life now. Every few months, I'll go to another Marvel movie, and it'll be okay.
And most of them aren't amazing, but almost all of the ones I've seen have been worthwhile entertainment. I have never seen one in the theater that I was disappointed with.
Anyone that takes place not on Earth is amazing.
Yes.
Ragnarok and both of the Guardians ones are the 3 best Marvel films.
Yes.
Because for some reason you just get out there in space and have a bunch of neon lights and shit and it's good times.
I like the more of the ensemble cast ones. Civil War is probably like one of my favorites. Just how it works together with all the characters. You have that many characters, and it doesn't feel like it's
Ant-Man
huge.
Blow away like a parade balloon? Doesn't make sense, Andy.
Because he doesn't have the same he gains mass.
Yeah, the space one.
You had one fucking rule for your magical Pym particles, and you broke it immediately.
But the 3 space ones, Avengers 1, Avengers 3, and Civil War were all great. And most of the rest of them were good.
Probably could say Civil War is Avengers 3. I mean, it's pretty much Avengers 3.
Okay, I mean, there were 4 movies billed as Avengers.
Sure. No, I know. Yeah. I'm just semantic.
Yeah. Civil War being a Captain America movie as opposed to an Avengers movie is a weird distinction. But I mean, War Machine and Hordes are separate games.
War Machine is in the Civil War movie too.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yes, that is true.
I don't know the Marvel character Hordes at all. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of Thanos' villains.
Whatever.
All of them.
I don't know. So what is it? They're going to have the real Mandarin. Okay. People were pissed about fake Mandarin. Fair enough.
They even actually said that he's actually the real Mandarin. They had like a short that was after from Iron Man 3. There was a short with I can't think of the actor's name.
Ben Kingsley?
Yeah.
I don't remember that being a thing.
Yeah, there is on
where
the
he's the Mandarin, but he was pretending to be dumb and drunk, but in reality he's not dumb and drunk.
Correct.
That's a good cover story.
There's like a Hail to the King or something like that short story that that came out right after
Iron Man 3. Oh, was it like on the DVD or something? Because I sure didn't get by that DVD because I sure hated Iron Man 3.
I didn't mind it. It was fine.
It was like...
The ending sucked, but...
The ending was really terrible.
Probably my least favorite MCU movie.
It and Captain America 2 are my 2 least favorites. Because Captain America 2 likes Captain America 2 better than
Iron Man 3.
And nothing it is just the adventures of Samuel Jackson's magic car. And I don't give a shit about anything that happened in that fucking movie.
Yeah.
like, if I was going to rewatch all of them, I would just, when that movie's supposed to happen, I would just, like, hold up a sign that says, and then Bucky came back and save you 2 fucking hours of your life.
And watch an Audi commercial?
Sure. No,
you can watch, you watch the first 20 minutes, or first, sure, like, 15 minutes of, of Cap just when he's being on the Cap. Boat. Fucking it. It's such a important question, sequence. Though.
Is Iron Man 3 the worst Ben Kingsley movie where he's pretending to be a non-white person?
No. No, I don't think so.
No, he was in that Turkish propaganda film.
Gandhi?
No. No, there was one. No, there was.
Wowzers!
Okay.
No, he was in Michael Myers. He was in Love Guru, wasn't he? I think Ben Kingsley is in Love Guru as a guru.
No, check it out.
It's got to be super fucking racist.
Sir Ben Kingsley?
No, look, check it out. I think it's called like The Ottoman Officer or something like that. Because an Armenian filmmaker made a film that was a drama that took place during the Armenian genocide, and so immediately a group of Turkish financiers put together a movie that took place during the same time, but was literally
got 3 Golden Raspberry nominations in 1 year.
I want to draw attention to. I'm going to come back for Zombie Dude's comment in chat, but I want to draw attention to his character's name in The Love Guru.
I'm not reading that one. I pulled my quota.
Guru tugging my putta. The height of humor from Michael Myers, who also had Lip Licker Lane in his fucking Dr. Seuss movie. The dictator. The question was worst movie with Ben Kingsley playing a non-white person, correct?
Correct.
The Dictator is a great movie, and I will stand behind that.
I didn't actually think this joke question would actually have this many answers, but I'm up to 5.
Yeah, no, he sure puts brown face on a lot. Like, he got his Oscar for Gandhi, and he's like, well, I got a career out of this now, and nobody ever told him that times changed.
Is that his issue, or is maybe people were typecasting him?
They're typecasting him as somebody wearing blackface.
Like, I mean,
yeah, I'm not sure. Like, people don't realize he's not white. They just saw him half in Gandhi.
Indian. Okay, all right. I did not know he was half Indian.
Oh, is he? Yeah. All right. This isn't like a, you know, yeah, 1/32nd Cherokee.
I don't know if you could ever be knighted while basically doing what would be considered blackface.
I mean, are you saying that England famously and historically has a really progressive attitude towards the colonized
civilizations? Yeah. Sure. I mean, that's, yeah. I mean, considering their the childhood entertainers have all been pretty much pederasts.
Well, I just mean in general their attitude. Like, I can't.
Let us not forget the Hottentot scene in, is that Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
The what?
I mean, you saw who's the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom now, right?
Yeah. Boris Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like Nick Nolte just went on a bender. It's just now.
Have they been seen in the same room?
I don't think they have. I think Nick Nolte just is. I haven't actually heard Boris Johnson talk at all, so I'm wondering if it's kind of like a low grade Marmo.
A little gravelly Ray Romano?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Is that what you said?
No, you listened to
Did
Nick
you say
Nolte.
Ray Romano?
No, I just.
Hey, sounds like Kermit the Frog.
Sounded like you said Ray Romano.
Maybe.
Play it back.
I can't.
Ray Romano. Yeah, see, you definitely said Ray Romano there in that playback that we just did.
Yeah, well, you know, it's Nick Nolte. I mean, he's. Something's happened to him. And so, now he controls. Now he's a. Prime Minister.
So Nick Nolte or Gary Busey?
No. We would
no,
know.
No, not which
know.
One is Boris Johnson. This is just okay. An unrelated question in its entirety with no other context. Just Nick Nolte or Gary Busey?
Gary Busey. Flat out.
Is this a...
The question is Nick Nolte or Gary Busey.
Is this a gun to my head? Have to pick one?
No.
The question
no
is just Nick Nolte or Gary Busey.
Yeah. No context. Nick Nolte, Gary Busey.
No, wasn't an option. The option False. Is Nick Nolte, Gary Busey.
False. It's an or. It's an or question.
I pick or.
False.
Wow. You guys got to be such haters. I'm tempted to pick Nick Nolte just to even it out, but I got to go Gary Busey.
I just flat out don't care.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like,
you need to watch more I'm with Busey.
I say, I'm not a hater, I'm apathy.
I want that show, and I can't find it anywhere. Of course, I haven't looked recently. We got recommendations. We got to get out of here.
I recommend The Taco Chronicles on Netflix.
The Taco Chronicles?
Yep. It is a 6-episode documentary series on tacos. It is completely in Spanish, except for part of one episode that takes place, or that they're interviewing a family in L.A. They speak English. So you have to watch it with subtitles or speak Spanish well enough to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part, other than the fact that it makes me very hungry while watching it, is that the narrator is narrating from the point of view of the taco.
Okay.
So, like, there's a great part where the Taco Bell Pastor is like, you know I'm better when you're drunk.
Cool. I mean, he's not wrong.
Correct.
Problems, Andy?
I'm not, it's not a recommendation, but it's a book, which I believe is done by Gary Busey, which is Gary Busey's Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.
I'd imagine him writing that.
He can compose complete sentences.
Well, it's kind of like Coco, the signing gorilla. You have to have like a human translate their thoughts.
Well, take the acronym. Take the acronym.
It's like, okay, yeah, it's like, okay, Gary.
It's Buseyisms.
Can you repeat that?
But Busey's Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth.
Oh, Bibly.
Yep. It's only for $15.
It's only $415.
$415.
$415. It better take me out of Earth like a goddamn Jellicle cat spaceship.
I mean, hell, for that price, we could get him on Cameo to read the book.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing. I love Busey.
A UFO takes her to cat heaven, Andy.
She read the book.
Speaking of shows that you can't find, like the classic cinematic treasure, I'm with Busey, an issue more and more, I mean, it's not necessarily more and more nowadays, because old shows, this happens too.
Can I say this real quick?
Yeah.
A show that's also really hard to find, that's also annoying hard to find, is Review.
Yeah, well, Review.
Just because of the name.
And
Review.
I don't think it's on DVD, which is unfortunate, but just looking for Review television DVD, like, Google refuses to understand what you're saying, and no amount of screaming at your computer, I mean, the title of the show is Review, not that I want reviews of the show. It doesn't listen. Or it listens, and they're all laughing at you in Google control. But so an issue is when... When a show's, like, super successful and good, and maybe you'll get a DVD... But if it's not, like, you won't. So there's all these treasures and whatnot that you can't find on DVD. And so I always kind of start to panic when a show that's good gets canceled, especially nowadays when shows are streaming, they might never get DVD because, like, what does Netflix care if you buy a show on DVD? Like, that's not how Netflix operates. So a Netflix show that Netflix has announced that is not getting a second season, they said they're going to keep it on Netflix for at least a few more years, but who knows what that means, is Tuca and Birdie. And Tuca and Birdie, when you look at it, you're going to go, that looks like BoJack Horseman. And the answer is because one of the writers of BoJack Horseman made Tuca and Birdie with the assistance of BoJack Horseman's main creator. So they kind of like assisted each other with their shows. And it has a lot of the same animation people. It literally just looks like BoJack Horseman. But Tuca and Birdie is really, really good. It's more of a comedy, less of a depressing thing than BoJack is. It's kind of more like an Odd Couple. It's just two women, one free-spirited and one uptight, living together. It's basically the Odd Couple, except they're both female and they're both birds.
So it's like AdFab.
It's like, yeah, except AdFab, they're both, you know, they're like one more than the other, but they're far more similar. This is really more like the Odd Couple style, where one's super uptight and one's more of a party person, and they kind of have to guide each other. But it's really funny. It's really solid. It's incredibly good. And because it's really good, Netflix didn't pick it up for a second season.
That's something I kind of worry about too, is like some of the Marvel films that or Marvel series that are over on Netflix. I know they I know they released some of those on Blu-ray and that, but yeah, it's going to suck if they all go away. Even Iron Fist, I heard the second season's good for it.
Yeah.
Just not the good first season.
But it's only 10 episodes. You know, you can marathon it on a weekend. It's super solid, super good. I recommend it. Blarg.
Okay. For all of you Switch owners, Waifu Tactics 15 or Fire Emblem Three Houses came out Friday, and it is really, really good. And it has it lacks the breeding programs in the past couple of games, which after I obsessed about that, realized in the middle of this that it was really, really creepy. So it doesn't have that creepy element to it, but it's classic Fire Emblem gameplay. And if you are familiar with anything in the genre and are like the rest of us, you will probably touch it, and it will touch you in the bad part of your OCD.
So, I'm sorry, you mentioned a breeding program, and then yes. You touch it, and it touches you, and hopefully I missed something in the middle there?
Sure.
Okay.
No, because the past two games, there were multiple generations of characters, and the way you got the second generation was by having your soldiers from the first generation hook up, get married, and then their kids would come back from the future to help you, you can get to a point sitting there with a spreadsheet of the potential mothers and fathers, and it's like, oh, I want somebody that has the combination of their traits, so I will exclusively have these two people hanging out together while they're fighting, so they will fall in love on a battlefield.
And they got rid of that?
Yeah.
This game sounds like garbage. Why would they get rid of the animal husbandry aspect of the storyline?
I am not sure exactly.
Like, I've always been infuriated that I couldn't make like Luca and Marl fuck and make children. How like you finally get a series that lets you do that and yeah. They strip it away?
Yeah.
That's absurd. That's like giving Bionic Commando a jump button. You took the identity out of the game.
But yeah, it's unfortunate. You lose the access to breed new soldiers. Wow. But the game is great.
I mean, it sounds like it can't possibly be great. If I can't make the characters fuck, why am I even playing this game?
So I'm going to recommend. Unfortunately, it is adding money to the corporate shills of Warner Brothers, but recently on the PlayStation Network, they had on sale to pick up all three copies of the Arkham series for Batman. So you get Arkham Asylum, Arkham City, and then Arkham Knight for, like, at the time, I think it was, like, $20.
Mm-hmm. One and a half of those are good.
Yeah, all of them are good.
I don't know. I didn't play all three. I love Arkham Asylum. I heard that, like, the Batmobile combat blew all of the ass.
In Arkham Knight.
Yeah, I've heard that the Batmobile combat's real bad, but the rest of it's fine.
But I've played basically all of Asylum before. I've played all of City before. I've never played Knight, and I figured buying it for $20 and getting all graphic upgrades too. It looks really pretty on the PS4. So
I should look into that because I picked up Asylum and City on PC for some reason.
Sure.
I would not recommend those games without a controller.
Yeah, it's...
It's the wrong genre for a PC.
They have several controllers that work for
PCs. I'm cheap.
I
don't even have a good excuse. I'm just cheap.
I mean, so this is the kind of my problem playing a computer game as versus a console game. My setup to play on the computer is not as comfortable as me on my chair in the living room playing the game. And that's the deciding factor.
See, whereas my couch sucks.
Yeah, that's exactly the thing, is that my couch is falling apart and I've got a nice desk chair. So, yeah, I have a...
Also, you have more people than I do to share that couch
yes,
with.
Yes, also the couch space is under more demand than desk space at the Brown household.
Fair.
So I have a...
But aren't you, like, the biggest and the strongest of the household?
Yeah.
Can't you just eat one of the others to assert dominance?
I mean, theoretically.
Problem solved.
They took the breeding program out. That doesn't work as well.
All right. I guess that's it. Are we calling it?
I do have to agree, though. Jeremy is right. The Japanese are weird.
Yeah, but aren't we all weird from a different culture's point of view?
Yeah.
But the Japanese most of all.
Yes.
Did Ben Kingsley play a Japanese person?